I'm David Schreiner Kahn, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I talk to on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. We're continuing with our mini-series, Fire Your Business Coach. We're talking about how so many professionals today seem to be floundering, why they're looking for answers in all the wrong places, and we offer some tips about what they should be doing instead. This week, we're looking at how to find the right community to support your success. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Ted Coynet back to Smashing the Plateau. Ted is a best-selling author, four-time CEO, and he is top-ranked by Inc. magazine and Forbes as a speaker, leadership expert, and social media influencer. Ted, welcome back.
Thank you, David. I'm really excited to be back.
So it's great to have you on again, and I wondered if we could start out by talking about your latest venture.
Sure. So in my latest book, which is A World Gone Social, we talk about OPEN, which is Ordinary People, Extraordinary Network. And what I've done, actually, you know, you count in this group, is I collect fascinating people. And for the last 6 years on social media, I have been really just collecting, gathering, meeting, and befriending, however you want to phrase it, just so many world-class, you know, authors, podcasters, C-level executives, you name it. And so I've been saying to myself all along, you know, there's got to be something we can do together that would be, first of all, fun, and second of all, would benefit everyone concerned. We put together something called Open for Business, which is it's a website. We have a blog. We have a speakers bureau, which is top notch. But what we really are all about is the influencer network. So people with the ear of the or the eyeballs, however you want to phrase it, of B2B decision makers, putting them together and serving the top tier brands that deserve, you know, good professionals talking about them a little bit.
So Ted, why is it so important to collect fascinating people?
It's everything. You know, all of us are maybe, and this is kind of the genesis of what OPEN is. So all of us are extraordinary in our own way. I mean, some of us are, you know, phenomenal world class, but many of us are just really good. We're solid at what we are good at. But there are just so many things in life that we're not good at. And that's fine. I mean, that's the way that life works, right? So for instance, if you want me to, you know, teach you how to, I don't know, have better customer service at your company for a business differentiator, right? I can do that with my eyes closed. But if you wanted me to help you with your taxes, you know, we'd probably both go to jail if you made a dumb choice like that. And if I were dumb enough to say yes, okay? So I'm not good at that thing and many, many others. I try to do an okay job at raising girls. I have two, but I certainly don't know the first thing about raising boys except that I was one, right? So there are all these things where we have gaps because the world is a complicated place. Well, when we have a thriving network of friends, supporters, contacts, they can fill in those gaps for us. And then together, we can be just phenomenal at whatever it is we set out to do.
And how long have you been at this?
Well, like I said, I've been collecting people really, you know, online. That's when it got turbocharged for the last 6 years. But for the last, I don't know, year and a half, close to 2 years, I've been putting together, I guess Open for Business as a website is 1 year and 3 months old. So that is how long we've been kind of working on, okay, first we've got a community and a blog. What are we going to do with it? And now we've got a speakers bureau. What are we going to do with it? Because about half of the members are professional speakers because you collect who you are. And then, okay, I've been involved in influencer marketing, mostly as an influencer and as a consultant advising brands for several years. Okay, so now that I know what brands are looking for, and I know what influencers are looking for and what they're not getting. How do we bring those two constituencies, the brands that need some love online and the B2B influencers who can give it, how do we bring them together and do something special? So we've been playing with that since last summer, since about June.
That's great. So I want to go back to what you said about preparing tax returns.
Yeah.
Right. So if you have a particular challenge or a particular problem that you're trying to solve, and you have been great at collecting fascinating people and building up your network, mm-hmm. how do you determine what's the right community for what it is you're trying to do right now?
Right. That is a very hands-on experience. You know, I think that artificial intelligence and machine learning and all that stuff is really, really transforming the world, but it's not even in its infancy. It's still being born. So we need to do this with our own judgment. We need to reach out to the people we know who we admire and say, hey, you know, I was looking for somebody to help me with, you know, whatever, my tax returns. I was looking for a top-notch, accountant for my business. So I need a small business accountant, right? I don't know anybody where I live. And, you know, so you reach out to your friends who you deeply admire. They can't be your beer buddies. That's for a different thing. That's for drinking beer, right? These have to be professionals who may already be using a business accountant who's doing a good job for them. And you ask them, who do you know?
So it's really important to know what your purpose is before you ask anybody the question.
There are all sorts of mistakes that we humans make because we think that since our friend is good at this, he's going to be good at something else too. You know, I've got people whose opinions I deeply respect who I would never want to discuss politics with because, man, one way or the other, they're going off the deep end and I'm not going to follow them there. You know, I mean, we're good at what we're good at. We're not experts at the things we're not expert at.
So given your experience collecting people and now creating this structured community that you've created, how do you go from a collection of people who you know can solve different kinds of problems to creating a structure where the benefit to everybody who's part of the community is derived partly from who's in the room and also partly because of the structure?
That's a really good question. And this is something that I was just thinking about this morning, trying to, really phrase this properly. I believe, I may be wrong about this. Somebody who's an expert on, you know, human psychology may be able to disavow this or whatever. But I really believe that organization and creativity fall on a continuum, and the better you are at one, the worse you are at the other. And I am very creative. So talk about filling in those gaps. And when you say the word structure, it's like taking medicine to me. Okay, a little bit of structure is necessary, but I am not one for procedures and everything else. So that's a very good question. In general, the number one thing, and, you know, this is what I learned as a kid growing up. This is what I learned when I was in college waiting tables. This is what I learned when I was running my first business. So I was my clients were businesses, and I just needed to ask them, okay, I can sell you stuff, but I don't want to guess. So what is it that you could actually use that I might be able to provide for you? Now, with my first business, it was, language coaching for their employees. Now it is influencer marketing. So what I do is I ask the influencers, okay, if you were to be in an influencer program for a brand you're really proud of, what would that even look like? What would you want to get out of it? Why would you bother? And then talking to brands, talking to the people, they're often in marketing, but even more often in public relations and communications, talking to them or the CEO's office. Talking to them and saying, all right, you want influencers to kind of give you the halo effect. You don't want somebody to shill for you, but you certainly want someone to, bring attention to your brand because mind share leads to market share. So, okay, with that, with that general understanding that influencer marketing is something that 84% of brands globally are going to be part of this year, they're going to, you know, take part in, why? What do you want to get out of it? What are your goals? And asking why, asking what's in it for you, no matter who you talk to, is just, that's how you learn. And that's how you deliver them what they actually would find of value, what the brands would pay for, what the influencers would bother helping for.
I actually want to go back a step to when you talked about organizational structure and creativity.
Mm.
And you said something that I actually think is really astute, which is that there is there's a balancing act that you have to achieve,
yeah.
Right? And organizational structure can be very helpful in some ways, but when it comes to creativity, too much structure may not be a good thing.
Yeah.
And when it comes to creativity, less structure may be better, but at some point, if you don't have any structure, you're going to run into problems. How do you find that? How do you determine where to balance structure versus creativity?
I think just like anything, you know, you look at somebody who's really good at balancing. Like you look at somebody on a unicycle. A unicycle is all about balancing.
It sure is.
Yeah, you know, I've never successfully ridden a unicycle. But a couple of years ago, one of my daughters was playing at a friend's house. The friend had a unicycle, and I come to pick up my daughter a couple hours later. There she is, riding the unicycle. Wow. Okay, so it looks natural. But what's actually happening is, unconsciously, by the time I showed up hours later, after hours of playing with this thing, she was correcting her balance continually. And that's what organizations need to do. So, and there is a drive within organization. Think of it as, you know, the on switch for cell duplication. Okay. Now, in a normal cell, you've got creation and you've got destruction. And when you have no creation, then the body is going to just die because they need to create new cells. However, if you have nothing but creation, that's called cancer. When it's just turned on all the time, and that will kill the organization. And I really believe, especially with large companies, the threat is you get professional managers who have gone through an MBA program and they learned, okay, and I'm not, you know, I'm neither knocking professional managers nor MBAs. I want you to understand that. But it's really important that very organized people not be the only people who have respect and clout within the business. They need to be balanced by those who say, okay, whoa, 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 this procedure is just getting too much. It's really, it's good to have a little bit. A little bit of structure is necessary, but you've got to tear it down as fast as you build it. You know, you put a new process in place. Okay, that's working for us now, but what can we stop that is no longer working for us? I think that's really the problem with especially large businesses and what I see all the time, because, you know, helping businesses navigate through this is a big part of what I've done for, you know, much of my career. What you see is small companies, as they grow, are eager to take on the structure, the rigidity of the way the big businesses operate. Well, that's a bureaucracy. We don't like it when we go to the Department of Motor Vehicles. The bureaucracy is so frustrating, we make jokes about it. Well, we also should not embrace it in business. A little bit of structure to make things flow, that's good. You don't want to reinvent the wheel every day when you get to work. Absolute no rules at all is chaos, and that's not beneficial to anyone. But, you know, you've got to not let the bureaucrats take over the business, and that is absolutely essential. So that balancing act, you've got to be doing it every single, throughout the day, not just every single day.
So now let's take this issue of structure versus creativity and look at what happens with B2B decision makers when they look for support from outside their own organization, particularly somebody who might be C-level, right? It's a very lonely position at the top.
Yeah.
All right. Whatever size your company is, if it's a one-person company or thousands of people,
yeah,
that top seat is a lonely seat.
Exactly.
And right, and people who are in that role often look for places where they can get guidance in a safe environment, where they can get some help and be vulnerable. How is the structure of those kinds of supportive environments helpful, and where is there too much structure, just like you described inside companies?
I think one big problem is when a small organization says we want to operate like that large organization that we admire. And so they hire somebody whose experience is with only large organizations, and sure, that person's going to come in and set up a million rules and procedures that maybe are not necessary for a 100-person company. That's a big problem that I see all the time. Another problem that I see all the time is we prefer people who are like us. It's validating to who we are as a person. So if you are creative, you don't, you know, often, I'm not saying, you know, you need to be this way. I'm certainly not, but I've learned to get over this. If you are a creative person, you don't respect people who are very organized. You think there's something wrong with them emotionally, right? And, you know, hopefully as we mature, we get over that thought, but a lot of leaders don't. And if we are an organized person, you know, I have even heard the word childish used. A consultant was working with a C-level executive, and he said, "Man, this guy's just—he's like a child," and he didn't respect the guy who's trying to help. Now, if you don't have that respect, that's a big problem. And the real threat here is that, like I said, we go after people who are like us and who validate our worldview. And, you know, that's not really, if you've already got a skill set taken care of, what you really need is somebody opposite who can help you fill in those gaps. And maybe, you know, it's not like there's only kind of one other skill set out there. There's probably dozens. You know, if you're a CEO of even a mid-sized company, you need somebody who's good at finance, you need somebody who's good at R&D, you need somebody who's good at marketing, you need somebody who's good, you know, at all the different functions of human resources, everything, right? And you don't just have one person to do all those things you're not good at. You have a team. Well, when you're, you know, when you're a C-level leader and you're looking for a coach, it may be, you know, I've done this. I've worked with career coaches over much of my career. And, you know, I work with somebody, it's really beneficial for a while. And then I've learned what I can from that person. I need somebody who's not very much like them. And this is, you know, a couple of year process. I don't throw people away. I'm, you know, okay, I've learned from you. The month is over. Let's move on. Not like that. But you really need to fill in your gaps. And we humans have more gaps than we probably realize.
And Ted, since you're a four-time CEO, in addition to using coaches for specific kinds of issues, what other support structures have you found beneficial to helping you get through bottlenecks or grow when you've needed to?
That's where I love my network. I just started my fourth business with some partners. And so looking at that, I'm thinking, you know, Instagram sold to Facebook for $1 billion with only 35 employees. How can I grow a business with very few employees? And I'm not against, you know, the idea of creating employment, but what I really love to do is create something where it's a team of peers, of equals helping each other rather than, you know, a boss subordinate type of thing. So finding people, surrounding yourself with people who are really good at what they do, but not necessarily like you, that is worth its weight in gold. You know, so I have learned much about marketing by now, but I will always look at myself as a marketing outsider. Well, let me tell you something. Part of our extraordinary network at Open for Business, we've got world-class marketers in there. So I'll just reach out to one of them if I have a question. In fact, Vidar, who is my co-founder, Vidar Brekke, anytime I sit with him and we talk to a third party, He just starts talking, even though he's the CEO of a startup. He's CIO of Open for Business and a few other endeavors, like a TEDx that's one of the biggest, actually one of the biggest TEDx's, TEDx Navasink. He's still, his marketing brain is just phenomenal. So I will learn from that man every single time. So surrounding yourself with people and just drawing on their expertise as needed, that's just absolutely invaluable.
Now, for the benefit of our listeners, would you say that in your experience, you have seen differences among communities that may be, particularly those that are structured, that may be a networking group or a mastermind group, or maybe there's some other names that come to mind for you?
Yeah, everything, you know, boy, there's so many different groups. So, for instance, when I was a brand new business founder, and I had no employees and then just a couple, but I was building a business. I joined the Chamber of Commerce in my town. It was a little town outside of Boston. And actually, it was, I believe it was a county or a region or something like that. So there are a few towns represented, but still, I joined the Chamber of Commerce. And I joined a networking group to just kind of, you know, learn. I was new to business, except as an employee. And man, I grew that fast. Because there were a couple of people in there who knew a little bit, but they were not serving where I needed to go. Their expertise was not what I was looking for. Then I joined the Boston Chamber of Commerce. And again, even the Boston Chamber of Commerce, I'm like, wow, you know, I thought I would join and be able to mingle with some of the, stupidly, right? Mingle with some of the top leaders of the organizations that are members of the chamber. And I didn't meet one of them. Well, of course not. I met people well down their totem pole who would go to chamber events. But I was really disappointed by that. So yeah, you have to be really careful. What I have found quite valuable is gathering my own. But I'm very gregarious and I'm very extroverted. So it's easy for me to reach out and start gathering a team. That's one of my skill sets. Some people are quite the opposite. And they may be more valuable on a team than I am, but that's not their skill set, is gathering a team. So finding somebody who can plug you in, that's useful.
Yeah. So talk to me about that. How do you, like, just as you described, if you've tried out a few networking mm-hmm. groups or maybe even a mastermind group, yeah. and it doesn't seem like it's the right fit, how do you find the right community for what you need now?
You know, that's just hit or miss. Like I said, I create them. And the nice thing about social is you can connect with them from all over the world. The bad thing is that you may not meet the people that you're connecting with over the course of years. But, you know, with video conferencing and what have you, you can get over a lot of that trouble. I like eye contact. I think it's absolutely invaluable to at least, you know, the first time we meet.
Right. And here we are on a podcast.
I know. Yeah, exactly. Well, right. You deal with the technology
that you have.
When you do a podcast, there's no eye contact, and that's fine. But it's really nice to be able to just kind of, you know, it's best when you're physically in the same room with someone, but don't limit yourself. So when you have the eye to eye, that's wonderful. A lot of people don't like that because, first of all, maybe it's inconvenient. Maybe they have their phone, but they don't have their, you know, camera ready. Or the other thing is, maybe they just don't feel like getting pretty for the camera. I get it, you know? So even the phone is terrific. And then things like, you know, email, what have you, collaboration technology. You shouldn't limit yourself to one medium. But the thing is, you know, if you are not the kind of person to collect a gathering of others, meet somebody who is, and provide value to that person so they bring you in there. And that's what I do. You know, with Open for Business, what I really want to do is I want to have our members connecting with each other, regardless of their relationship to Ted Koyne. And the nice thing is they are doing that. You know, 1 year plus in, we've got people who are collaborating on projects together. And that is, it's just delightful to me. You know, I hear about it later. That's great. That's the whole point. And at the beginning, Yeah, you need somebody to start that thing, to get that involved. The biggest problem I see with that, though, is that I don't want to get in the way of continued, networking of people. I don't want to be the conduit through which they network necessarily.
Right. So do you have any tips to offer for somebody who is gregarious about how to get things started in a community, and maybe some tips to sort of move it along that don't involve you all the time as the leader?
Well, yeah. I mean, the first thing is, what's the point of it? I always start. It's really funny. So my daughter's school has their elementary school. They use Stephen Covey's Seven Habits for Kids. And so there, every time we go to the school, there it is on the walls. And I think it's habit number two, start with the end in mind. And I was just bored starting with the end in mind. It's not a special, talent of mine. It just strikes me that, okay, why are we even here? A lot of people don't start that way. So make it a conscious decision. Okay, what is the point of gathering people? Now, if you're gathering people for a networking group of some sort, okay, what are you going to do together? And maybe the answer to that question will evolve over time, and hopefully it will, because the person who starts it is only one opinion, one thought, one perspective. But at least start. Okay, why am I bothering, and why am I wasting your time by having you on the phone or Skyping with you? What do I want you to get out of this meeting, and what am I looking to get out of this meeting? And it doesn't have to be, completely transactional, but all right, are we going to get together because I found you through Twitter, which I find many, many of my long-term friends and associates through Twitter. So because I'm on there frequently. And there's so many interesting people talking about so many things. So maybe I found you on Twitter. I read a blog post that one of my friends shared, and that post that you wrote was so compelling. I just needed to get to know you more, find out more about you. So after I exhausted my search, this is what I do all the time. After I exhausted my search on your website, on LinkedIn posts, the other things you've read, maybe read your book or whatever, I'll reach out and say, hey, I'd love to whatever. And I always lead with an offer. I'll say, hey, you're a great blogger. This is just, one example, by the way. Hey, you're a great blogger. I'd love to host your thoughts on our blog. So that's, it's nice. You're leading with something for them. And it's also something for our community. So another Covey habit is make everything a win-win. Well, in this day and age, it could be a win-win-win. It's a win for the blogger, for the community, and yeah, for me too. So anyway, I'll reach out to them with something in mind, even if it's just to get to know them a little bit better, to pick their brain about something. We hit it off or we don't, and that's fine, over the course of half an hour, what have you. And then who knows what'll happen from there, but kind of, in the back of my head, I'm thinking, all right, this is a business leader. I am a business leader, and my audience is a bunch of business leaders. So maybe this person can help me deliver value to my audience. And maybe this person would like me to help them reach a bigger audience. And so that's the subtext of why we meet. That's my goal. Obviously, David, your listener is going to have their own goal, which might be something, entirely different. But know what the goal is ahead of time.
That's a really important point, right? So know what your goal is. Think about what each party is likely to get out of the interaction. Mm-hmm. And as you said, offer to help first. If you're the one who's reaching out to somebody else, offer to help first. I think that's really powerful.
Oh, I can't even tell you, David. I mean, several, if not many times a day, people will reach out to me just to help them. And I'm like, whoa. Who are you? I'll help anybody anytime, as long as, they're a good person and not a wacko. But, if you just say, hey, stranger, help me. I'm thinking, I don't care. Even if your cause is great, that's just impolite. So think about them first.
Good manners goes a long way.
It's a reflection on your parents, and not all of us had, I guess, parents that taught good manners, but boy, we should.
You can still learn them.
What?
You can still learn them.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Ted, I wondered if we could finish up by you talking a little bit more about, now that we've spent some time talking about different kinds of communities and how to get people together, I wonder if we could spend some time just talking about a little more about what you're doing in Open for Business.
Well, I really appreciate that, David. So years ago, brands started approaching me when I started building my own personal brand online. They started approaching me and saying, hey, Ted, you know, will you come to this event and tweet it, or will you write a blog post for us? You know, stuff like that. Years ago. And back when I had 200 people reading my blog, I felt pretty honored when I would get the attention of a Fortune 50 company wanting to tie their brand to my personal brand. So that was pretty cool. But over time, you know, being immersed in this world, typically, I'm like, wait a minute, I'm a professional speaker. If you want me to speak at your event, I'll come. If you want me to blog for you, I do that for pay occasionally, not very often. But we can talk about that. But I'm not just going to do this. If I want to help a charity, I'm going to help a nonprofit charity, not a big business. So this whole influencer marketing thing is just the Wild West. And the fact of the matter is that advertising doesn't work. And it doesn't work because we're sick of it. We know that it's a pitch. We know that it's biased. And so we as humans are like, okay, great. There's this big company talking about how great their products will be for our big company. No, thank you. So what's nice is when you have somebody else, maybe not even saying directly like, oh, you need these cloud services for your company, but saying, you know, this company is doing some remarkable things. Just their culture is special or something like that. You're raising the awareness of the company. That's really what influencer marketing is best at, is just raising awareness. And it's replaced advertising because it's more sincere than advertising. Influencers are absolutely invaluable to brands, but the right influencers. So my group, you know, the people that I collect are people like you and like me who are business professionals, not people who are, you know, like if you want to ask me what kind of sneakers to buy, I have no idea. I wear my sneakers until they, you know, wear out. I'm not that demographic. But if you're, you know, selling big data analytics to whatever, to CIOs, okay, that's a different story entirely. Now we're speaking my language. So that's what influencer marketing is. It's getting the right people. You know, we're not influential across the board. There's no one number for influence. We're influential in our areas. Getting B2B influencers, people with a very large and loyal audience of, you know, C-level decision makers at companies, getting them to work with brands, that's what we have done at Open for Business. So we call it the Extraordinary Network. So earlier I was saying, you know, OPEN stands for Ordinary People, Extraordinary Network. The Extraordinary Network part, best-selling authors, keynote speakers at you know, terrific events you go to, other C-level leaders, very popular bloggers. These are the extraordinary people that are in our network. And we are working with the first few brands now to put together an influencer program for them that benefits the brand tremendously. You know, what if you could have 5 million people exposed to your, 5 million followers exposed to your brand with the flip of a switch? Wouldn't that be great? And exposed to your brand in a positive way from people who have clout with a C, who have, let's not even go there, who have real business chops. That's what we're offering, and that's incredibly hard for other influencer marketing companies to really provide because they don't have the business leadership. You know, because let's face it, if you're a kid just out of Stanford, you may be absolutely brilliant at developing a really cool app or website or what have you, but you don't have these relationships with, you know, people who have held leadership positions, who currently hold them, who are, you know, best-selling business authors. So what we provide is, so far today, it is unique. And, you know, I'm looking forward to having a little bit of competition in there, because being first to market is, you know, somewhat scary.
There's always something scary in everything. So, Ted,
yeah, exactly. I don't sound scared, do I?
No, you don't. You don't. But, yeah, doing something for the first time, there's always a scary element.
Yeah, it's just, you know, we could say, oh, yeah, we're like those guys. Instead, we have to say, yeah, we're not really much like any guys. You know, that's okay.
But it's definitely more exciting.
No, it is. It is. It is. Blazing a trail is always more exciting, and I love that. I love the novel. You know, the new.
That's great. So, Ted, how can listeners learn more about you and about the work that you just described?
Everything you want to know about me, you just and about our network, because I don't care if you hire me as a speaker for your next event or one of our network, or, you know, if you whatever, if you read my blog post or somebody else's. Our network is at openfor.business. So instead of .com or .org, it's .business. That's our website where we show off the talent in our group. And pretty much everything you want to know is right there. You can also follow me on Twitter, but you can find me on Twitter through Open for Business. You can find out about my book through Open for Business, get a free chapter. Everything you want is in that one spot.
Great. Well, Ted, this has been a really fascinating discussion about building community and about how to connect with other people in the right way. So I really want to thank you for coming back again to be a guest on Smashing the Plateau. My guest today has been author, speaker, leadership expert, and social media influencer, Ted Koyner. Thank you again, Ted, for joining us.
Absolute pleasure, David.
Thank you for listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by Tend Strategic Partners. I hope you enjoyed our discussion. What has your experience been getting help when you've hit a plateau? What would you like to learn through this podcast that would give you the support you need? Connect with me on LinkedIn and Twitter to continue the discussion. And please share this episode with your colleagues and friends. It would also help a great deal if you'd write a review on iTunes so that new people can find us. Come back and listen next week as we explore how to pick the people that will help you smash the plateau. My guest, serial entrepreneur and angel investor Dan Cashel, talks about the concepts behind the Genius Network and how being with the right people can make all the difference. It's an episode you won't want to miss. I hope you've enjoyed what you've learned. I know your time is precious, and I want to thank you for spending some of it with us today.